40 greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off today's show with some big boxing news out of the Big Apple here in the U.S. A battle is brewing in Brooklyn, New York, as two of the world's top welterweights prepare to face off at the Barclays Center this weekend. Our Jonah Haskell is in New York, and he breaks down what to expect from what's sure to be an entertaining matchup.
This Saturday, March 4th, the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, will host what is shaping up to be one of the biggest fights of the year. Keith Thurman versus Danny Garcia for the WBA-WBC welterweight titles. Thurman, known as One Time for the prodigious power behind his punches, is undefeated in his career, holding 27 wins, 22 by knockout, to zero losses, and he cannot wait until fight night.
I want greatness for myself. I love the fight game. I love the challenge. I love the sport. I want to get the best out of Keith One Time Thurman. And it's fights like this that are going to produce that for you and for myself.
Thurman may be looking to produce the best fight for himself, but his opponent will have other ideas. Danny Swift Garcia, so-called for his speed in the ring, may be the underdog, but he finds himself very comfortable in that role.
You know, I live for moments like this. I've been the underdog before. I've been the promoted fighter. I've been the underdog. At the end of the day, all underdog means is it's a bunch of people who don't know what I could do. And I prove it to the world what I could do. And that's rise to the occasion every time.
Like Thurman, Garcia is undefeated in his professional career, featuring a 33-0 record with 19 KOs. Paramount in his arsenal is a nasty no-look left hook that Thurman will have to watch out for. With so much power between the fighters, many expect the bout to end before the full 12 rounds are completed, and many, including One Time himself, think that Thurman will be the one to land the big blow.
Keith One Time Thurman is coming to get the best of Danny Garcia, and I'm going to challenge him and show him why my name is One Time.
Underscoring the spectacle of Thurman Garcia is the fact that it will be only the second boxing match broadcast nationally across the United States on the CBS television network in the last 40 years. There will be a tremendous amount of pressure on both fighters with so much on the line, but Danny Garcia isn't sweating it.
Yeah, it's a big fight. I've been in other big fights too. I think that's what gives me the advantage. I've been in big fights. You know, nobody even knew who I was. So I feel good, I'm confident, and ain't nothing to do but go in there Saturday night and show the world who's the best fighter in the world.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Jonah Haskell in New York. Back to Andrew Palcheski in Washington.
Thank you very much, Jonah, for that report. One thing is certain this weekend, as millions watch around the U.S. and around the world, an undefeated record will fall in Brooklyn. And a heads up for our listeners around the world, that Thurman Garcia fight kicks off on Sunday, March 5th at 200 UTC. In other boxing news, it looks like the big Manny Pacquiao-Amir Khan fight, originally scheduled for April 23rd, could be pushed back about a month. Reports this week said that Pacquiao and Khan's camps were working towards a new date of May 20th for the fight in the United Arab Emirates. My VOA colleague Sonny Young asked Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about the prize money for Pacquiao Khan, as well as other boxing developments.
Sonny, we're looking at two fighters that have huge, massive following. Manny Pacquiao is a global fighter. He's known all over Asia, all over the world. Amir Khan is from Pakistan, but from Britain. He's big in the UK and big in Asia. These guys will bring in the money, but the money is not going to be more than $50 million. And the big question becomes, this cat in UAE, United Arab Emirates, that's guaranteeing $38 million on the table, how can they make their money back?
Will this be a pay-per-view fight, Namdi?
Well, a lot of fight fans are not crazy about this fight being a pay-per-view. But personally, Sonny, I like the fight. Amir Khan is always in an exciting fight, even though he gets knocked out cold. But, you know, he will bring excitement. That's why we call him the Chinny Khan, because of his glass chin. You know? But before he gets knocked out, he will talk up the fight. He will give you a nice few rounds, and then he gets knocked out, and it's all over. It's a big fight. These people that are crying now, saying we're not going to buy it, it's a bad fight for boxing, they would end up paying for it.
Amir Khan moved up a couple weight classes to take on Canelo Namdi. This one seems more in his wheelhouse, going up against Manny Pacquiao. Is that to Khan's advantage, the weight for this fight?
Not really, Sonny, because remember the last fight, he came in at 160, Sonny, against Canelo. So now he has to make weight. He has to go into the gym, spend a few weeks really, really getting his weight down, because this fight is contracted at 147 pounds, the welterweight limit. He's not going to come in at 155 or 150. So he will have to melt down to 147, and in the process of melting down, he will not have the power. His legs may be gone. So that's why the fight fans believe it's going to be a quick, easy fight for Manny Pacquiao.
Floyd Mayweather, the money man, recently celebrated his 40th birthday. Still talk that he's going to go up against McGregor, the mixed martial artist. What's the holdup, Namdi?
Good question, Sonny. What's the holdup? The holdup is the fact that Conor McGregor has a contract with UFC, United Fighters Championship, or what you call it. And the Nevada State Athletic Commission will not let him break the contract, because he's one of the biggest stars at the UFC. So until Conor McGregor and UFC make their own deal on the side, because we're talking about huge money. I mean, the fans may say all they want to say about this fight is an embarrassment for boxing, it's no good. But people will still pay to see this fight. And that's why Floyd Mayweather is a very shrewd businessman.
When would Mayweather-McGregor likely take place?
Sonny, we're looking at fall of 2017. And that will give them enough time to prepare for the promotions, the pay-per-view, because this is pay-per-view. No matter what people say about this fight, remember Muhammad Ali fought Antonio Inoki. You remember that fight? We are in a different age now. Floyd Mayweather is a businessman. He's a show promoter. He's about to break a new record. Hate him all you want to hate him, but he is a multimillionaire ready to make another $100 million guaranteed before 2017 is over. All these people that hate him, they pay to see if he's going to lose. And that's why he always smiles to the bank.
Namdi, on Saturday, March 11th, Ghana's capital, Accra, the venue for a big fight card. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Sonny, it's a very special night for fight fans in Accra, Ghana. It's called the Freedom Fight Night at the Bukom Boxing Arena in Ghana. Streetwise Promotions and Errol Hawk Sports Management, in support of Ghana's 60th independence anniversary celebration. It's a really big deal for fight fans and non-fight fans in Accra.
Namdi, you've been critical of Streetwise Promotions in the past, especially with their handling of Richard Comey. Will he be featured on Freedom Fight Night?
Yes, Sonny, I've said some tough stuff about Streetwise Promotions taking Richard Comey to the gym in Moscow for a meaningless fight. But for the fact that they were able to come back and put together a show like this with Richard Comey taking on Belgium-based Tunisia in Heidi Slimani, and of course, Frederick Lawson. This is his first fight since losing a welterweight elimination to Kevin Bizier of Canada in November 2015. So he's been sitting around for a long time. He's going to take on Sakima Mullins from Jamaica. Then we have his hot prospect in Duke Micah, 19-0 with 17 big knockouts. He will take on Jonathan Aguilar from Mexico for WBC International Bantamweight Belt. All this will happen at Bukom Boxing Arena. It's not easy to put on fights in Africa with no corporate sponsor or no sponsorship from the government. So kudos to Streetwise Promotions and Errol Hawk Sports Management.
April 29th at Wembley Stadium in London, arguably the biggest fight of the year, Namdi, featuring two top heavyweights, Anthony Joshua against former champion Vladimir Klitschko. How's the training been going for Anthony Joshua?
Training has been going well, but a lot of leaks from training camp. You know, what happens in training camp is supposed to stay in training camp. It's been revealed, which Anthony himself almost confirmed, that he was dropped in training camp by two sparring partners. But he came back and said that in training camp, you use training camp to work on what you're going to do in the ring, which means you don't go to training camp and knock your guys out and kill the guys, and then the fight night you have nothing left. So he kind of agreed that he got bombed in training camp, but don't count on what happened in training camp to be what will happen come April 29 at Wembley Stadium against Klitschko.
Namdi, I know in the past you've described Klitschko's fighting style as jab and grab. Is that the key for Anthony Joshua to get inside that jab and do damage inside?
Sonny, he must get past that jab and go back and look at Izuagbe and Dominic Brazil fight of last Saturday. Sonny, we're talking about body work, man. He did not do that kind of damage to Brazil when he fought Brazil. I'm talking about Anthony Joshua. Go back to last Saturday's fight and look at what Izuagbe did to Brazil. We're talking about running your combination, not just one jab, bang, bang, bang to the body, break down the body and the head comes down and uppercut will take the man out. And that's what Izuagbe did. Joshua should be in the training camp looking at that fight from last Saturday.
What about Klitschko, Namdi? How's his training been going?
Training's been going well, but we're not hearing any rumors about him being knocked down in training camp. We will know April 29th if he will be ring rusty. But if he's not ring rusty, he will come with a jab and grab and lay over you. It will be a very boring night for 90,000 people at Wembley Stadium.
That's our reigning Prince of Pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Moving now from boxing to a calmer sport, golf. The United States Golf Association and the RNA, the body which governs the rules of golf around the world, are teaming up for a major overhaul. The two organizations announced this week that they're proposing 30 changes to golf rules designed at making the game more straightforward and easier to play. Now, among the suggested changes, allowing golfers to drop a ball from any height as opposed to shoulder height, giving golfers the ability in hazard areas to move loose impediments that block the ball, take practice swings and ground their club, changing the amount of time allowed to search for a lost ball from 5 minutes to 3, and as our producer Bill Werkinger just informed me, allowing players to wear shorts in practice rounds of certain tournaments. Now, golfers will have until August 31st of this year to review the new rules and offer their input. The final rules will go into effect on January 1st, 2019. Accompanying this announcement, the USGA and the RNA have launched a social media campaign, hashtag GolfRules2019. Golfers are using the hashtag to weigh in on the proposal. Some are calling the changes long overdue, while others are questioning why certain elements of the game are being changed versus others. And among those weighing in, 8-time major champion Tom Watson, who tweeted, "I applaud the USGA and RNA for the common sense changes to make the rules of golf more fair and logical, as well as much easier to understand." I'm Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, music lovers. Habari! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa.
Baluri storkiado,
Tune in this Sunday and quench your thirst for awesome African music. I have fresh news and interviews from my recent trip to Zanzibar and Nairobi. Thomas, baby, plus, I've got great classics from Cameroon and Nigeria, listener requests, and new releases. So tune in to VOA Africa's FM station this Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Bon appétit!
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou takes a look at pediatric cancer, a diagnosis that turns the lives of the entire family upside down. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two-Face.
NATO C. Hey. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
Joining me now in the studio is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard, who's here to talk about the latest trends in the sports world. Sporty greetings, Doug.
Sporty greetings, Andrew. A bit of a shoe on the other foot today for you,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, this is very odd for me. I want to jump in and talk about the trends, but that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here. So let's
jump right into it. No, please, go ahead.
So let's take a leap. Right now, we are at today, is actually the beginning of what's called the NFL Combine. It's an unusual time when prospective NFL draftees are competing with each other and with themselves to really kind of prove their stuff. So people run them through all kinds of, drills and rigor tests, running, lifting, you know, all that kind of thing. It's really athletic combination. It all happens out in public. So right now, the hashtag NFL Combine is trending on Twitter and on Facebook. A lot of people rooting for their favorites and whatnot. But there's a bit of a twist this year that people are having a bit of fun with. So Adidas says they will give anybody at the Combine this year who can beat Chris Johnson's record for running the 40-meter dash from 2 years ago in 4.24 seconds, anybody who can beat that record will get a free island.
Wow. Yeah. Usually it's, you know, you get some sporting goods, but Free Island is pretty,
Free
pretty
Island,
well up there.
But, you know, a lot of people on Twitter are talking about this, and they're noting, well, there's a bit of some fine print, which is that Adidas reserves the opportunity to swap out $1 million prize for the island. So people wondering, well, what kind of, you know, what would $1 million get you for an island? Well,
it doesn't even get you a dock or a yacht in a lot of cases.
Well, very handily. So people have been sending out a lot of real estate. Here's one in the Virgin Islands, Young Islands. This is only for $10 million. Here's an island in the Maldives. Oh, again, about $10 million. Belize, Central America, 10.5. So $1 million I don't think is actually going to get you a whole lot of island.
No, I don't think so. It's, probably better to take the cash than risk it and end up with an island that's about the size of a bathroom.
Exactly. And with nothing on it.
Yes.
So, except perhaps guano. So another item that's perhaps proving that there's no issue too big or too small for people to fight about on social media. Last Sunday, in fact, the Philadelphia Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins, two NHL hockey teams, played outside. It's part of this ongoing series that the NHL has, these outdoor games, a lot of hoopla around them. And, of course, the Pens were hosting the game. And so somebody thought, well, it might be a good idea to get some actual Penguins out on the ice, you know.
Real-life mascots.
Real-life mascots. Everybody loves Penguins. Come on, right? What's not to like? So there were seven Penguins out there. Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Kunitz, Letang, Murray, and Sully. Those, of course, some of the star players for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Well, everything was going great up until the point that there was a little ceremony staged, which involved some fireworks going off close to the Penguins.
Oh, no.
And the fireworks went off, and the Penguins flipped out. So now a lot of animal lovers, I guess Penguins, the animals fan, are, along with PETA, are, you know, really assailing the Pittsburgh Penguins, the hockey team, for, you know, scaring these animals and causing trauma to them and that sort of thing. A lot of accusations flying back and forth. And the Pittsburgh Penguins, the hockey team, and the Pittsburgh Zoo, who gave the where they got the Penguins from, are saying, look, pardon the pun, but no harm, no foul. You know, they just sort of reacted. They flapped their flippers and everything is fine. But again, a lot of people getting themselves in a bit of a tizzy over how the Penguins treated the Penguins.
Yeah, the accusations are flying back and forth because the Penguins can't fly. So that's part of the reason. But fittingly, today is actually World Wildlife Day. So
yes,
a good
that.
Issue to raise today as we celebrate the animals of the world.
Indeed, indeed. And again, I mean, nobody wants to traumatize cute, adorable little penguins. So anyway, there's one other item today, and I know all of these items are a bit on the light side, but it is Friday.
We like light stories on Friday.
There you go. Well, I enjoy light stories too, especially when we can find them in social media. So Nick Mangold was a center for the NFL team, the Jets. Up there in your part of the world.
As a Jets fan, they are cleaning house, it looks like.
They are definitely. Well, and you're seeing this in a number of teams as well. But unfortunately for Nick Mangold, he was let go from the Jets, from his contract. But he found out while he and his family were on vacation at Walt Disney World in Florida.
Ooh.
So apparently he decided to have a little bit of fun, and other people on the internet are having fun with it too. He started posting out a series of photographs of him. For example, there's one I'm looking at here. He's going down one of those sort of log flume rides, and everybody's, you know, took a picture, and everybody's sort of screaming and yelling and grabbing each other. And he's just sort of sitting there with his arms closed with the caption, the moment it sinks in that you were cut while you were in Disney World. And he's gone on taking these kind of, amusing pictures, funny pictures, all over Disney World, and his fans are really enjoying him for it. It's like, you know, it's no fun to be cut, but he's being a real good sport about it. So, and of course, who knows what the future holds for him. So people having some fun with that out there on social media. But I'd say the number one big trending item right now is, of course, the NFL Combine, and that goes on for, I think, a good week. I think that's a good week of it. Now, I'm not going to watch much of it because it's just sort of an odd thing to watch.
No. But the interesting thing is most people do end up watching it on social media when they get these clips of these guys who break records or do amazing things.
That's exactly right. I mean, they are, you know, amazing athletes. And look, let's also be frank. People are looking at these guys thinking, you know, placing bets as to who's going to get drafted and in what order. So there's all kinds of interests at play here, I think.
Eyes already on the football season several months from now. Thank you very much, Doug.
You bet.
That wraps up our March 3rd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer PETA Hundley, and thank all of you for tuning in. Sunny will be back in the studio on Monday, but until then, I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington. Have a great weekend, everybody. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On February 20th, the United Nations declared a famine in parts of South Sudan. This crisis is man-made, the direct consequence of a conflict prolonged by South Sudanese leaders who are unwilling to put aside political ambitions for the good of their people, said State Department Acting Spokesperson Mark Toner. South Sudan gained its independence from Sudan in early July 2011. Peace lasted less than 18 months. In December 2013, a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar erupted into civil war. A peace accord signed in 2015 has failed to stop the violence, and the continued fighting led to a collapsing economy and wildly escalating food prices. Food insecurity, hunger, and malnutrition have all grown steadily worse since the conflict began. Today, some 100,000 South Sudanese are on the verge of starvation, and 7.5 million people, more than half the country's population, will require humanitarian assistance this year. The United States is gravely concerned by the February 20th declaration of famine in parts of South Sudan and by the significant scale of humanitarian need throughout the country, said Acting Spokesperson Toner. We call on President Kiir to expeditiously make good on his promise that humanitarian and developmental organizations will have unimpeded access to populations in need across the country, he said. Humanitarian actors are working tirelessly to reach those in need. All parties to the conflict must stop impeding relief efforts and allow food and other essential assistance to reach those who need it the most. The United States remains the single largest donor of humanitarian assistance to South Sudan, having provided more than $2.1 billion since 2014. Our assistance, including more than 600,000 metric tons of urgently needed food assistance, has saved lives and helped avert famine for three consecutive years. We call on donors and other members of the international community to provide timely additional humanitarian assistance to save lives and support the people of South Sudan.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, music lovers. Habari! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in this Sunday and quench your thirst for awesome African music. I have fresh news and interviews from my recent trip to Zanzibar and Nairobi. Tums, baby. I've got great classics from Cameroon and Nigeria, listener requests, and new releases. So tune in to VOA Africa's FM station this Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Bon appétit!
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA News. VOA.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.